Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Happy Monday to all of you to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo and we are going to start this week off with a wonderful, wonderful subject matter. It is called success mapping. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're involved with. You could be a mom at home with three babies. Doesn't make any difference. We all want to enjoy success. And Arlene Johnson is my guest today. We're going to be sharing with you how you can achieve what you want now. And I think that's a good attitude. No magic bullets here, but it is worth knowing about. Success mapping. Arlene Johnson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation about something that I think it's important for all of us to consider, strategy for success.
Arlene, to you, what is the word success? What does it mean in your professional view?
Success, I think, means for me, and maybe if I framed it in a question for your listeners, to think about, has there ever been a time when they have really loved the work they've done, loved the company they were with, loved the project they were involved in, their teammates, or a customer relationship that they really valued, or, you know, a personal relationship, too. And then all of a sudden, that any of those things that we've cared about and valued all of a sudden change, if not disappear, and seemingly without warning sometimes, at least that's what we think, it's been without warning, then oftentimes we have to step back and say, well, what was our strategy to protect that in the first place, to achieve what we wanted that was different, and really to what was our plan to protect what we valued? And success mapping is that step-by-step guide to help people, whether you're a student or a CEO in an organization, achieve more of what you really want in your career, your business, and or your personal life.
I'm so glad when you responded to that, that you didn't say, well, it's becoming a multimillionaire, it's blah, 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 blah. I really get very tired of the blah, blahs.
The reason I do,
and that's my bias.
Your heart's
because
desire.
I think that what, in my mind's view, success really is something that when you're involved with whatever you love, whatever brings you joy, it can be being a garbage collector. I don't care. It is what, when you think about it, you just feel like you can hardly wait to get to it. It's exciting. You get into it. And we were talking with someone today, and I was out, we were running errands, and talking to a young man, and he found out how many books I review a year, and he goes, oh, my goodness, I love to read, but I can't sit still long enough. And my husband said to him, he said, she loves to read. She absolutely loves to read. She reads 400 to 600 books a year. And he said she's enthralled with it. She actually reads these things before she interviews people. And I am. That's a joy to me. It's an absolute joy because I love what I'm doing, and I look forward to it. And so I use myself as an example, but I know of other people that I've talked with, gardeners. They're just, oh, I just love it. As soon as I get my hands in the dirt, I'm so happy, blah, blah, blah. So I really appreciate your perspective regarding success. Now, success mapping is important, but I want my listeners to know about you and your background because you actually the founder and currently the president of Sinequanon Group. It's FGI as the abbreviation. You've spoken all over the world. You obviously are an author, and you've worked as a consultant for over 20 years, and you've enjoyed involving yourself in helping people with executive leadership, change management, and sales performance. You've worked with all sizes of companies, and you have been in all kinds of industries. And currently you're serving on the executive committee of the Dallas chapter of the United Nations Association and the Sales and Marketing Executives Association, and you are also involved in the Conflict Resolution Network of Australia. So you're one busy lady. I'm surprised you even had time to write a book, for heaven's sake.
Well, one, when you have an intention to achieve something new and different, you have to decide on where you focus your thoughts and energies and actions. And part of it was delaying that book, writing book for a while, and had to get really specifically focused on achieving it. It's called a writing sabbatical, Donna.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
So we had to make decisions to achieve new and different things,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But what I do in the book is I do take the reader through a process to help them figure out exactly what they want to achieve, identify what's preventing them from actually accomplishing that, and then in the book, they create a strategy for success, which is called success mapping, but at the end of the book, they'll actually have completed what I call success map of best decisions and best actions to either protect what they cherish now, if they love what they're doing, or a plan to change it. So it's tools and process. It's very much a how-to. I'm a queen of process. It's a how-to book. It's a whole lot less best practices and ideas and quotes. It's really about a how-to process for individuals to achieve what's most important for them.
Now, let's go through a few of the points. You've got 8 success blockers.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 8 steps to success, and you go through each and every one of them.
Yes.
In today's world, a lot of people, and I can't say that it's unique to this time frame, but I think it's more intense than it has been in a while, they don't know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, I don't know. I mean, as a counselor, I've heard this so many, many times, and usually you ask questions to get to some points and some factors, because many times people don't think, for some reason, they're supposed to be able to enjoy what they do.
Right.
And that's something that your book does address. You take each of these steps, and I think that it would be good if we start out with the very first one, which is, what is it you really want? And that is so significant because we all are endowed with talents. We all are endowed with likes and dislikes. And why is it so hard for us to be okay with that?
The likes and dislikes, Donna, or
mm-hmm.
just that we've not moved forward? I think that we all have the capability for so much more potential to achieve, whether it's in our business or a stronger, deeper personal or business relationships or different paths to our career. I think oftentimes we neglect that potential, which truly is one of the major 8 success blockers that prevent people from moving forward. It's just not deciding on exactly what you want to achieve out of the vast amount of options. We all have so many options, and most of us realize that and think about that and get that there's a lot of ambiguity without making a decision on exactly what you want to achieve. Or we say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to school and get my degree in that subject, whatever it is. But then what happens is that we may or may not believe we can accomplish it. So once we decide, we have to evaluate, what's my belief system about me really achieving this? Can I really complete writing this book or going back and getting my master's degree or getting a degree at all? Or, you know, what are my thoughts about what I truly can accomplish? So the first thing to do is to decide on, out of your vast options of what you could accomplish, decide on something.
I like
and move
some,
forward
yeah.
with it.
Mm-hmm. You have mm-hmm. some questions. Excuse me for interrupting you.
No, no.
You had some questions in here for reframing some of
yes.
our systems, and I just want to mention the 3. What do I want to accomplish that I haven't? Which preventing thoughts do I need to reframe? And mm-hmm. what enabling thoughts would help me achieve what I want. And you go through these questions and you give examples. And I think just about anyone, if they have 5 cents worth of common sense, realize that being more of a positive attitude is better than a negative. In today's world, we have so many people, because of the economic downturn that we've experienced, thinking, I just won't be able to do this now. I'm not going to be able. They get afraid, and they don't realize that there's brand new opportunities that have been created, though things may not seem to appear to support that. There's always action and momentum going on. So this section that you have regarding the reframing, I think, is just great. Now, we've got step two, which is the power of you with intention. Step three is the power of choice, but I really want to go into step four. I'm sorry, folks. You're going to have to get the book so you figure out these other two chapters I skipped. We're going to go to step number four.
We skipped. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Using your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
This was a lesson that it took me years to learn.
Yes.
And I was so impressed with this chapter because I thought, I wish I had had someone that would have said to me, you have XYZ strengths, or ask me the question, what really comes easiest to you? What do you absolutely thoroughly enjoy doing that you don't even have to think about?
Mm-hmm.
And it would have saved me maybe about 30 years.
Well, that's true, and I've heard that for so many people. Now, for the purposes of achieving what you really want to accomplish, that step of your success map to do that says, so before you go try to recreate the will and do something that you don't have, let's evaluate what strengths will help you more easily achieve what you really want to accomplish. So the first thing is, once again, what's your North Star? What's your intention to achieve a specific goal? And then you say, okay, now, what would it take for anyone to be real successful? What strengths would anyone need to be successful with that specific goal, that position, that initiative, going back to school or whatever it might be? And then you say, okay, now, what are my personal strengths, and which one of those match that? All right, now, how can I leverage my personal strengths? That whole step is real powerful, very powerful.
You have a story about yourself in here that is very significant, and I'd love for you to share with my audience. It's the fact that you had oral cancer.
That's correct.
Now, tell us about that, and what was it that was the gift that came out of that heavy impact?
Well, there's so many people who've gone through trauma in their lives with health or loss of ones they love. And so what happens is, especially I think in an illness, and I'll just speak for myself, that when you go through that kind of a life-death illness, you really start depending upon the experts in the field, i.e. the physicians. And so what you begin to hear are not exactly happy news, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to get through the healing process, it occurred to me that they were beginning to give me messages around not being able to heal, not being able to open my mouth again, not being able to speak with understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I stepped back and I said, wait a minute, I'm not using any of my own personal strengths. All the strengths I have to be assertive or be positive or take action on controllables instead of accepting the non-controllables, working from fear instead of what I could do. And so that's when I just stopped. I said, what are my strengths? How am I leveraging? And that's when I started seeking some special care, got exactly what I needed to do to open my mouth wide enough to eat a cheeseburger, which they said I wouldn't do. Well, that was kind of like the last straw. When they told me I couldn't eat a cheeseburger, I said, all right, that's it.
Cheeseburgers went out, yes.
I can lose my voice. But I'm darned if I'm not going to be able to get that cheeseburger down. So, you know, it's really when we're in times of loss, of job loss, of relationship loss, and to try to move through the grieving process as quickly as possible and know what your core strengths are and start using and leveraging those. be very focused on how can I specifically create some action around what my core strengths are, as we often do, especially during times of trauma.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. And what I like that you said is that personal strengths do not include talent. And that is very significant, the distinction there. Because, as you said, and I'll quote directly from your book, for a talent to become realized and develop, it's necessary to apply personal strengths, and that is so true.
And those are skills. What we're really talking about when we say personal strengths, those are those skills, competencies, capabilities, character traits that we've earned, we've learned, that's part of our makeup over time and our experience. It just says don't neglect those. Use those when you're wanting to create a strategy for your success. Don't abandon what's gotten you there. No, so let's take advantage of those. But make sure they're goal-relevant strengths. And I'll give you a quick example. If you're an independent sales rep, as an example, versus being a sales manager, well, right away you know that what made you successful as an independent sales rep may not be the strengths you need to demonstrate and leverage as a manager of others in a sales role. So that's when you got to evaluate what are my strengths that I can now apply to what I really want to do now, which is manage and coach others. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, being very goal-relevant personal strengths to help you easily achieve what you really want to accomplish.
Step number five is transforming stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Boy, that's a big one. I don't know of anyone who enjoys success that hasn't said, oh, boy, I didn't step on a stone. I stepped into quicksand, and I thought I was going to drown. Well, quicksand, if you stay still, eventually you can float to the top and can get out of it. So I don't know of anybody that hasn't had that experience on one level or another. How do we transform blocks? Some of them are self-created, some of them are just going to be there, into stepping stones.
The first thing, Donna, is to go back and say, okay, now once again, what's my North Star? Where is my focus on what I want to achieve and accomplish? And based upon that, what could prevent me from achieving that? What are some potential obstacles, those external obstacles, those internal obstacles that I really need to be aware of? So the first thing is just to have a mindset for assessing what could be a stumbling block for you. And then there's a problem-solving process in the book. Each step of the book has got tools and processes that help people really move through this, each of these stumbling or each of these success blockers. It just says that. So the first thing is to determine, is it an external obstacle that's getting in my way, i.e., as an example, finances, support from my boss or my spouse, or time to do it. Or once I've settled all of those and have all those handled and I've still not taken action, ruh-roh, it might be an internal obstacle, fear, self-doubts. So we really say, what could get in the way? Is it external, internal? And then let's go through a problem-solving process to be able to really understand that underlying need. And then, and I'm sure you've experienced this before, as your listeners have as well. Sometimes those stumbling blocks have presented new opportunities, new crossroads, and new relationships. It's just how you go about solving the problem.
That's true. And often it's those very obstacles that enable you to find out more about what you've got within yourself, unless you think that's the end-all of end-all and you just stay in the quicksand.
Exactly. Step so you do six. Have to have a mindset for change with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I think that is and has always been something that has been tough for a lot of people because they're not taught that that's okay. They're taught you need to stay safe, and then you have to define what is safe.
Well, you know, Donna, there's a lot of people, and I talk to people in all parts of the organizations And I had a senior vice president says a good day is leaving the company at the end of the day with the same job that I walked in that morning. Well, you've got to be thinking with that mindset. I'm not quite sure what kind of strategy for success is going on for the individual other than survival.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when we're in that mindset and mode of lack and scarcity versus abundance and growth and being proactive, it's very limiting. And
yes,
sure
it
enough,
is.
It's almost self-fulfilling, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's why I think, too, it's important for us to be able to read, not just fall in love with something that's on television, but also to be involved with different groups, different organizations, different associations, because you get different views. And then you go, whoa, I didn't realize that this was another facet of something. Life is, to me, is like a diamond. It has so many, the diamond's in the rough, but once you start cutting it and you polish it, then you have all of these different components that bring the diamond its brilliance. And I think it's the same thing in life.
Exactly.
I think we have all of these different facets, different paradigms, that when we become aware of them, we decide which way we want that diamond to turn, which what
and you
do
know
we
what,
want
it
to
is,
look
what's,
at.
What's a little sad about that is oftentimes we don't really go outside of ourselves to pursue conversations and relationships or networking organizations until we're pushed into it by change that has occurred in our business or our personal lives. So I think that's a great recommendation you made, is for people to be real conscious, even with the plethora of activities for people with family demands and work demands, is to try to carve some time for themselves to continue to grow and be more and more employable and marketable in their organization and in their industries.
I agree. Let's go to number 6. And my goodness, let me mention that number 7 is making decisions with no regrets. And number 8 is, yes, I'm ready to achieve my intention statement, but we're only going to have time, I think, for number 7. Number 6. This one I especially like. Again, coming from a very personal positioning, I was taught never to ask for stuff. I was taught you just don't do, everybody else knows better than you do, and it took me years to get past this level of ignorance. And so I share it with my audience because, hey, that's the way it is, or was, the adage. If you don't ask, you don't get, and I like yours, if you don't ask, don't be surprised when you get nothing. That is so true. You have to go out and ask. And boy, man, I still find that that old file keeps coming in. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. And although I have to kick it right back into the file cabinet and lock the drawer and say, wait a minute, enough. I'm going to ask.
You know, and I think that is a huge myth, and it's a huge success blocker, is trying to go it alone.
Oh, you know, amen to that one.
No great things are done alone. So we really do need collaboration from others. So it's really to the listener's benefit to be thinking about, once again, what do I want to achieve? What do I want to accomplish? What support, finances, time, whether it's emotional support, whether it's financial support, what support or resources do I really need to ensure that my success with what I'm trying to accomplish? And in the book, I actually define a very complete collaborative conversation process that helps the reader determine when I'm asking that individual or that group for resources or support, you know, what's my plan for the conversation to make sure I understand all the reasons they'd say yes and all the reasons they would say no? What are the yes and no factors, and how do I go through a collaborative conversation agreement in order to make sure I get yes?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get yes, then I've also had an opportunity to strengthen my relationships because it was a powerful conversation process, and then get potentially other recommendations that might lead you to a better path.
I had a conversation with someone just this morning, And I was chatting with this person. We were discussing something that we were shopping around for. Mm-hmm. And we told them what we wanted to do. And I brought out a point, a factor. Gee whiz, this part of what you've suggested I really don't like because I expect that we're going to be able to do this, plus that, and so. And this person, who is really knows their stuff, said, I think I have another option for you. They presented an option that was phenomenal that through a number of other persons that I had had discussions with, it had never even been considered because they weren't in a position to offer it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that openness of conversation, describe a need and say, this is what it is, and you don't get emotional about it, you don't make it personal, you just say, this is what I'm looking at. What do you have for me? Sometimes people will get an aha, and they'll say, I can do this. This is another alternative. Have you considered this? And you look at the person, you go, wow, nobody else has thought of that.
I would just say to the listeners that when you've determined exactly what resources you need to help you more easily achieve what you want to accomplish, to spend a little bit of time and preparation to understand those yes factors and no factors so they can be incorporated and spoken to in the conversation. It will improve what I call your yes rate. Just wrote an article about improving your yes rate. And so that will do it. And that's really defined very well in success mapping.
I agree. Now, I know we've just got a little bit of time left here before we're going to be finishing our conversation, and I do want to let my listeners know that in your book, Success Mapping, you have really hands-on information.
Mm-hmm.
You have checkpoints. You, in the back of the book, you have all kinds of questions, problem-solving processes, and again, checkpoints, and you give references throughout your book, other materials for people to read if they're interested in, and your contact information is back here. And by the way, I want to mention your website, successmapping.com. Arlene, as a woman who has evolved through a number of different environments, how do you see the economic positioning of what is going on today, especially in the world of business? You're very much associated with that. We have a lot of people who are small business owners, some people who are CEOs of companies that listen to this show. What would you say to them regarding what's going on now and the kind of attitude that they should look towards working with? Your book, Success Mapping, is a very good example. But what would you recommend to them so that they take a more assertive positioning instead of thinking, oh, gee, this is just the way it's got to be?
Well, I also wrote an article recently about that. And I think that a lot of organizations, and I would just say in some ways have hunkered down a bit. And because of trying to survive through a global economic downturn, they're not always looking in the marketplace for growth opportunities. So they're protecting instead of evaluating what growth there can be. One of the things I highly recommend is that if an organization wants to experience more of their potential in the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
first of all, they need to have a mindset and a vision of abundance and growth for their employees, number one. Number two, they, whether it's through success mapping, helping success map sessions in their programs at their companies, but they need to be able to help employees experience right where they are more of their potential and achieving more of what they want to accomplish, because if the individuals do it, then the company is the benefactor of that. So they achieve more. It ripples from individuals
mm-hmm.
who are accomplishing more to a company who's accomplishing more in the marketplace as well. From mindset to process.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From mindset to process.
And for those of you who maybe do not run a business, if you're an employee, understand you can map success for yourself as well. It's a do-it-yourself project, but you don't have to go it alone. And there's a lot of resources available to you. Arlene Johnson, thank you for being my guest today. Your book, Success Mapping, is excellent. SuccessMapping.com. Check it
thank
out.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Donna.
You're very welcome, Arlene. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and, hey, the phone lines are open. Yes, they are. So if you wanted to call and chat with me, buzz this number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, I wanted to remind those of you who are in the state of Washington, I'm going to be appearing at the Boeing Parapsychology Employees Expo in Kent, Washington. Now, you can go to Kent Commons. It's going to be this coming Saturday from 9 until 5. This is a wonderful event, and it's for people of all ages. Anyone is welcome to come in, and we have vendors, all kinds of vendors. There's going to be speakers. I'm going to be one of the speakers on Saturday. And I also will have a booth there, and I'm going to have beaucoup books out of my personal library that I'm going to be bringing. When you read as many books as I do, you've got to make space for some new ones. Otherwise, you have to own a library because I have so many. So anyway, that's going to be available for you. If you're interested in books, love to read, then you'll have some of that to peruse through. And also, I'll be doing many consultations. Now, again, this is the Boeing Parapsychology Employees Expo. It's put on twice a year. So this is a wonderful opportunity if you're interested in the paranormal, if you have a fascination about massage, all kinds of things. This event is just terrific. It's been going on for years. So what you do, go to their website for more information, which is www.bepcweb, B boy, E Edward, P Paul, C Charles, web.org. And you'll find out all the information that you need. But I thoroughly enjoy being a part of this. It is just wonderful to have the association with these great people that not only put the activity together, but also those that participate. They're vendors. And again, this is in the state of Washington, Kent, Washington. So if you're in that area, come on by. You'll have a great time and tell your friends. Also, tomorrow I'm going to be on with Monique Chapman on Achieve Radio, Walking in Spirit is the title of her program. I'll be on from 5 to 6 Pacific time, and I'll be doing readings on air for people that call in. So if you have a friend, maybe they can't listen to the afternoon show, then just know from 5 to 6 Pacific time, I will be on the air with Monique. And she is a great, great gal, and we've known each other for years, and so I just feel so pleased that she's invited me to be a part of her program. And I will be coming out with my newsletter, and my appearances will be in the newsletter. I am going to be in Florida from October 1st on Safety Harbor near Tampa. I'll be in that general area from October 1st to the 4th. I will have an amount of time available for private counseling if people are interested in that. Also, I'm going to be going up to Alaska. I'll be both in Fairbanks as well as in Anchorage. So if you want that information, it will be on my website with my calendar as well as my newsletter. In the meantime, if you'd like to chat with me live right here on air, 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then also I like to know where you're calling from. Then sit back, relax, and let me share with you what I perceive for you. I have so much fun with people when someone will say, oh, the good old days. Do you ever get these emails where there's 5,000, I'm exaggerating, of course, maybe 50 comments about what was so good about the good old days? Well, I find the good old days are exactly where they should be, right in the good old days. There are pluses and minuses with every generation, but I always chuckle when people try to make the past magical. When I do the Renaissance Fair, one of the fun things that I always, always delightfully plan for is costume, getting in costume and walking around in whatever is appropriate for that period, because I get to feel like a princess for those days when I'm participating in that fabulous event every August. Well, that's fine, but I wouldn't want to live during those days. I don't particularly care for outhouses, and I don't even know that they had the outhouses as we knew them, but they did have an environment that was very unhealthy. Most people didn't live past the age of 40. Women died at an incredible rate, usually in childbirth. Men, if they lived past 35, it was amazing, and disease was rampant. And children, more than 50% died before they were 3 years old, and then a good portion of those remaining died before they were 5. They figured if you lasted until you were 10, you had a good chance of making it through adulthood. Well, we have people that really think that living the rural life is absolutely not the rural life, the country life. Yes, the country life. Where we're out on a farm and we've got the cows and we've got the pigs and the horses and all kinds of things. It's like, oh, that's so romantic and it's so relaxing. I'll tell you what. I don't know anybody that lives that kind of lifestyle that has what I'd call a relaxing health style. It's hard work all of the time. All of the time. Well, a while back, I had a wonderful lady on the air. Her name was Carla Emery. She's a country gal through and through, and she put together the Encyclopedia of Country Living. And I was going through it the other day, and I thought, this is really something, because so many people have this fantasy in their head of what country life must be. Well, the truth is, country life is a lot of hard work. It is extremely hard work. Physical labor. Now, today we have instrumentations and technologies, machinery that helped. But I'll share with you Mama's Mama. This was a little poem written by a woman who was 85 about life in the country. But we've got a caller. Let's go to our first caller for today. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Celeste, and I'm calling from across the bay from Safety Harbor, Florida.
You're actually in Safety Harbor?
I actually live live in Safety Harbor, but I'm currently right now I'm in Oldsmar, which is just across the bay. And when you said Safety Harbor, you're going to be here, and I didn't catch when you were going to be here or where exactly.
Yes,
in Safety Harbor.
Okay, I'm going to be at the Safety Harbor Resort. I'm going to be flying in on the 1st of October, and I will be there through the 4th of October, and I will have some time where I will be able to meet with people personally. But that's amazing that you're actually in Safety Harbor. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful community.
I was going to say, have you ever been here? Because it is nice. The spa's beautiful.
It's just gorgeous. Yes, I was there last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing some broadcasting for Teresa Tapp's retreat that she has out at Safety Harbor. She has been a woman that we'll have her on the air this week. In fact, she's going to be on with me on Wednesday. This woman has an exercise program that's enabled me to tone up like 30 and a half inches.
Wow.
Inches. This is amazing. So she is...
It's amazing. This is why I tuned in. I just popped over my computer and suddenly listened to the BBS for a little while, and here you guys are talking about Safety Harbor, and this, now you're talking about a woman who's toning up, and that's what I need.
Well, you've got to tune in on Wednesday, because you'll hear Teresa.
Yeah.
You'll hear Teresa,
right.
And that's going to be important. But let's get down to business with you, Celeste. Oh, this is so much fun. I love this synchronicity. Okay. Celeste, the first thing I am looking at is a need to diagram out a strategy. And when I'm looking at you, I feel as if I've got so many things coming into my space, so many things occupying me, that occupying my mind, that I'm getting to the point... Well, actually, you are at the point where it's like overwhelm. What I want you to do is to be able to find maybe a big sheet of paper like they use in presentations, or if you can get a nice slab of butcher paper, whatever it takes, I want you to outline what needs to be done. And then I want you, after you outline everything that needs to be done, I then want you to shoot over to another sheet of paper what your priorities are. Don't get rid of the first sheet, but outline what your priorities are and focus on those until you get them done. Then look at your other sheet, and you'll be able to fold in what you are able to fold in efficiently and well. And before you know it, you're going to have everything done that needs to be done. Now, this concern about money that I'm watching with you, I understand where it's coming from. But part of what you are growing into is an understanding of how to work with money differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to learn how to utilize what I call financial leverage so that it's going to work for you, not against you. And you will learn about this because of some people that you will be talking to. And you're going to say, wow, I would never have thought of X, I wouldn't have thought of Y, and I wouldn't have thought of Z. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all of these options. So just as I was discussing with my guest earlier in the first part of the show, if you don't ask, you are not going to get any answers. You're not going to know what your options are. And don't worry about somebody thinking that you're stupid. You're not stupid. Often we honestly don't know what our options might be. And the only way to find out about options is to ask questions and not just ask one person. But reach out to as many people as you possibly can. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, whoever and anyone, ask. Say, thank you, I appreciate that information, and then check it out, and bingo, you're going to have a resolution. So I'm not too concerned about you financially. Is it going to be a juggling act for a while? Absolutely. But it's all right. You're going to do just fine. Do you have a question for me?
I have a question. I'm one of the people that don't know where to start, you know.
All right. When you say you don't know where to start, what are you referring to?
talking about mapping the future and whatever. You know, you were talking about writing down, like, okay, where do I start? So
let's just take an example. Uh-oh, we have to go to break. Would you stay on the line?
Okay. Stay on the line.
All right. Celeste is in Safety Harbor, Florida, where I'm going to be next week. So we'll be coming back and chatting with her, and you can give me a buzz if you like at 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be going back to Celeste, who's in Safety Harbor, Florida, where I'm going to be next week. Amazing. Celeste, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
Okay. Now, let's take an area of your life. Let's say career. What kind of work are you doing right now?
I work in the storage area of a manufacturing facility of computers and whatnot.
All right.
We handle all the parts.
Great. Now, what I want to ask you, and I know we've got a little bit of a time delay on the line, so just bear with it because there's like a split second here where we can overlap. If you could do anything you wanted to do, and this is where you have to throw your personal judgment or evaluation of yourself out the window. If you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be?
I like working with animals.
All right. Then that's one of the things that you need to put down. I'd say pick 1, 2, 3, 4 things that you just absolutely thoroughly enjoy doing. When you're doing it, you just find that there's no sense of time. It's just a joy for you. But let's start with the animals. You like working with animals. Well, you have some options that you could explore. You could do some rescue work, volunteer to do some of that. Check out what it would take maybe to be a pet sitter or a person that does grooming or someone that does training with special, you know, special needs people and animals. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. There are lots of options.
Right. So you need to write down those options. That would be step number 2. And then I would say volunteer to be around some individuals that work in those different environments to see what you like. You might enjoy getting into animal nutrition. You might enjoy, you know, working for a company that manufactures animal food. Or people that have a store where having an educated person that could help with their customers they just dearly love. So you've got to start somewhere. If that was your first priority, you love animals, I'd say then you need to ask, what kind of animals? Do you want to work with wild animals? Do you want to work with domesticated? Do you want to work with birds? Do you want to work with reptiles? There are so many different options, but it's really getting down to the bare bones. Does that help you?
Well, I got a lot of work to do.
See, what happens, we can say we like certain things, but I'll also make another suggestion. I would say if you've got, let's say, five people that have known you for a long time, ask them a couple of questions. One is, what are my strengths? What do you see as my greatest assets? And then what do you see as my greatest weaknesses? And they may say, oh, well, you know, I don't know. And say, yes, I'd like you to ask. No, be honest with me. Don't make things up, but I want you to really be honest with me about this and see what kind of feedback you get. Now, when you're looking at it, don't look at it and put your whole personal self in it and say, oh, my goodness, they think I'm not very organized, oh, gee whiz, mm-hmm. Don't go off on that track. Look at what your strengths are, and that's something that Arlene brought out in her book, which I really liked. Because when you focus on your strengths, then you automatically, believe it or not, can improve on your weaker areas. It is something that is very important. Also, you realize that when you focus on your strengths, you'll have the opportunity to generate more income and thereby for the things you hate, like if you hated to clean your house, you'd hire a housekeeper.
There you go.
Okay? Because what you're looking for is that sense of financial freedom that comes from doing what you love. And you focus on your strengths, and that enables you then to look at how you can make life work for you in a different way. At the same time, I would say bless the job that you've got. Be very grateful for it. Look at it as a wonderful environment that's enabling you to develop skills. And you may find that there's something that you will be learning there. There might be an opportunity for education that you had never considered. Don't look at the situation as a dead-end situation. This could be very much the catapult that enables you to reach for what you really want. It all depends on what you're doing with your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. I know because I've gone through it so many times. I don't think you ever get past that because we always have these self-imposed concepts of what we think we should be or not be or what have you. And sometimes we have to get an aha to realize you're not going to try to be a superstar or you're not going to try to be, you know, a race car driver. So you don't need to bother with that nonsense. Maybe you like watching it on television and that's very nice, but you're going to be off doing more of what really means the most to you. And when you open yourself up in that way, just like what I was talking about, the animals, you're going to meet all kinds of wonderful people. You're going to have an opportunity to interact in different environments, find out what you like and what you don't like. And that's good.
It's true. I do have to get back into volunteering. I know that opens up a lot of doors.
Absolutely. But more than anything else, you're relaxed when you're in that environment because you're doing it because you want to do it. Celeste, I'm going to have to go, dear. We're out of time.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. And if you want to find out more about my appearance in Safety Harbor or what I'm doing, you can always call up my office, which is 800-872-8852. But tell your friends because I am going to be there for a short time.
Okay.
All right, dear. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the time did pass so fast. I'll have to tell you about Mama's Mama tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Success is your right. You do have to sometimes work for it. No shortcuts, but you're the only one that can ask the questions. You're the only one that can travel the journey. Nobody's going to do it for you. So embrace it, have a sense of enthusiasm and zest for life, because it's the one you're living. So why not give it the best shot you possibly can? This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, and we'll be talking about Simply an Inspired Life with Mary Ann Radmacher. Talk to you then, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.